Hello, 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 and welcome to the Cinema Judge. To all my regulars out there, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, welcome aboard. Now, approaching the bench today, we have the long-awaited Barbie. And it's directed by Greta Gerwig, and it stars Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, just to name two of the monster cast. Now, here's a story in a nutshell. What would happen if Barbie suffers a crisis and she questions her world and her existence? Here's a trailer for Barbie.
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool. You can find me under the
lights, diamonds under my eyes. This is the best day ever.
It is the best day ever. So is yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever. Yes! Do you guys ever think about dying? When my heart breaks. Some things have been happening that might be related. When my world shakes. Cold shower. Ooh. Falling off my roof. Ah! And my heels are on the ground.
Flat feet!
What do I have to do?
You have to go to the real world.
You can go back to your regular life, or you can know the truth about the universe. The choice is now yours.
The first one, the high heel.
You have to want to know, okay? Do it again.
Closer I am fine. Closer I am fine.
I'm coming with you.
Okay. Wow, this is the real world. What's going on? Why are these men looking at me?
Yeah, they're also staring at me.
Barbie in the real world. That's impossible.
If this got out, this could mean extremely weird things for our world. This would be catastrophic!
We haven't played with Barbie since we were like 5 years old.
Oh.
No one rests until this doll is back in a box. Even if nobody else sings
along. Humans only have one ending.
Get that Barbie!
Ideas live forever.
No, I won't let you do just one appendectomy.
But I'm a man.
But not a doctor.
Can I talk to a doctor?
You are talking to a doctor.
And I need a clicky pen?
No.
A sharp thing?
No.
There he is. Doctor!
Somebody get security.
Is Barbie if you still in doubt? Now, let me tell you a little bit about this movie. First of all, it tackles a lot of issues, and I'm not going to get into them here because that's for you to find out. And that's what makes this movie really stand out. It doesn't shy away from the history of Barbie. Because we all know, Barbie's had a very complicated relationship with the public, the press, and everything. And another thing great about this movie is they have a lot of the forgotten or some of the Barbies that were brought out and then canceled. Canceled isn't the right word, but they stopped using them. And they show up in this movie in just little bits and pieces, and it's wonderful. And also, at the end of the credits, they show more of the ones that were pulled because they didn't quite jive or really get along well with the public. And that's what this movie's so great about. They're celebrating Barbie, but they're also embracing and facing all the stuff Barbie has been throughout the years. Because let's be honest, it's created such a wonderful environment for young children. I don't want to just say girls or boys or people who don't identify anything. I'll just say with humans. Barbie has been there for so many children, and it's just amazing how that character has evolved. And this movie does that. They say, here's the truth, or here's what happened. And all, there's so much being said in this movie. It's not just a comedy. There's some drama, humor. I mean, it's some emotional parts in this movie. So this is truly a movie worth your time, whether you like Barbie or not. Just like the trailer says, if you love Barbie, you'll love this movie. If you hate Barbie, you'll love this movie. And the director, Greta Gerwig, did such a fantastic job of writing it and directing it. There's a certain tone that this movie really embraces, and it's amazing. Now, you might wonder, what else has she been involved in? A, she's an actress too, writer and director. She was involved in Jackie, Lady Bird, Mistress America, Greenberg, and just so much more. She's so incredibly talented, and she's a perfect one to be directing and writing this movie. It's so well done. And since I don't really have a point of reference on a lot of this, because I never played with Barbies, not that that's good or bad, I just never did. So on a lot of this stuff today, I'm going to let them talk, the makers, the directors, the actors, because that's what you're here for. You're here to hear from them, not me talk about the movie necessarily. So first, we're going to hear from the director, and then Margot Robbie, and she also produces it too, because her performance, top notch. Everything that she touches is incredible, and I just can't wait to see where she keeps going in the future. What a talent. And then after they talk about the movie and little aspects of it, we're going to have a clip. And in this clip, we're going to have Barbie. This takes place in the beginning part of the movie where she wakes up, goes to the beach, and all the other Barbies, because she's not the only Barbie. Because as we know, Barbie is a lot of different people. And that's what happens in this movie. It's Barbieville, basically. It's President Barbie, this Barbie, that Barbie, Supreme Court Barbie. And they just all say, hi, Barbie. Hi, Barbie. So that's what the clip is. But at the end of the clip, Alan says hello. And he's one of the characters, like I said earlier, who got, let's say, stopped making Alan. And they address that at the very end of that clip. Everybody says, hello, hello, hello. And then, hey, Alan. And then the narrator, who is Helen Mirren, says, that's Alan. And he's not like everybody else. So it's just really funny. And then right after that, we're going to hear from Alan, who's played by Michael Cera. And he nails this role. He's incredible. So that's what happens up. Check it out.
I think if you were a little girl who knew about Barbie, who liked Barbie, there was a memory of looking at her behind the box in a toy display. Like for me, it was Toys R Us. And that feeling of wanting everything inside of the box and all of her shoes and her hair to be perfect, everything just so. And I think kind of keeping that fantasy in the forefront of my mind and thinking about how just little girls all over the world felt the same way I did. And that was a big part of it, was making sure I was like, never forgot that experience, that I didn't let the adult part of my brain take over and run the show, that I was like, but what did the little girl want? It was like brighter, brighter pink.
There was like a really nice harmony between all the different elements involved. You know, we have the, you know, Mattel line to pull from inspiration-wise. We've got all the usual places you'd look for inspiration. And I don't mean just for costumes or hair and makeup, but for the set design too. It's, you know, Sarah Greenwood, our incredible production designer, looking at Slim Aaron's pictures and the houses in them and how people would kind of like have this, like, you know, effortless but luxurious vibe felt right for Barbie Land. Or, you know, in Slim Aaron's pictures, you've got all these women in bikinis, but they never look self-conscious because there's lots of women together. There was something like empowering about, you know, we talk a lot about what struck us as feeling empowering and freeing and fun, because no one's meant to feel self-conscious in Barbie Land until Barbie starts having an existential crisis. But before that, you know, it would never occur to her that being in a bikini could be embarrassing. It's like, she feels great. They all feel great. Every day is great. So we talk a lot about what we're trying to say in the script, pulling from references that you do on any film when you look to artists from the past and different source material, films, film references, photography, whatever, real life. And then also, of course, the Mattel line. You know, we had 64 years of history to look at, and that was always a fun touchstone too, to be like, okay, here's this Barbie. She's wearing like this gold disco outfit. So what if we did our version of that? Some outfits we obviously replicated extremely accurately, and some were very much inspired by, but, you know, embellished or transformed in different ways. So yeah, there was just so much, there's obviously so many different directions we could go, but it was always nice to like come back to the touchstones that resonated most with the thematics in the script and make sure we're kind of on track that way.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
I got us both ice cream.
Cool.
Hi, Barbie.
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 Hi, Ken.
Hi, Barbie.
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 Oh, hi, Alan.
There are no multiples of Alan. He's just Alan.
Yeah, I'm confused about that. Alan is sort of like a person without a group that he belongs to. He's kind of a loner in a way, because I think the joke about that, as far as long as at least how I interpret it, is that Alan the doll, which was a real doll in the 60s, didn't have a very successful run. It wasn't a very widely loved toy. So I think the way that Greta and Noah handle that in the movie is that he's sort of this marginalized person in this world of Kens.
And he makes a great point. And that's another thing that really sets this movie apart. They could have severely leaned into one way or the other that, you know, all these other people are bad or Barbies are perfect, because it's a direct, cool message that they're saying that even the Barbies marginalize people. They think they're living in the perfect world, but they're not making a perfect world for everybody, only for themselves. And it's really kind of cool to see that evolve, because people like him, he's, in their mind, they're nothing. He's a nobody. He's invisible. They don't even know where the Kens live. And it's cool seeing that evolve, that A, they could write a script where they can do that. They're not just going, Barbies are gold. They're perfect. They're not. They too are flawed. And it's cool to see them make that progression in the movie, but also that the writers said, we're going to do this. We're not going to just paint them as, oh, aren't they just lovely? And oh, it's just so honest. I love that. So up next, we're going to hear from the director, just talking about the original creator and how that story comes about. And fun little note, she makes an appearance in the movie. I'm not going to tell you where or when, but it happens. And then we're going to hear from Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, just talking a little bit more about the characters, the story, and everything else. And then we're going to go back to the director, and she talks, this is a great story. She wanted to write this story, and she's like, no one else could do this. I'm going to do this, me and my writing partner. Because she didn't really tell her writing partner what was happening. He says, what, we're writing a Barbie movie? And she says, yeah, we are. It's a great, great interview. Check it out.
Researching Barbie and how Barbie was started and she was made, I was also very fascinated by the story of Ruth Handler and how she came to make Barbie, and that it was named for her daughter, Barbara. That she had this insight into girls playing, which was to, you know, they don't want to just play at being moms. That was it. All the dolls that were being sold at the time were baby dolls, and she saw her daughter play with paper dolls, cut out, like paper dolls that had different outfits, and she thought, she doesn't want to pretend to be a mother. She wants to pretend to be an older girl, like a young woman, you know, who's sort of starting out in the world. And came up with this prototype for what became Barbie. And you know, it's like the story of so many businesses that women start that make, the woman who started Spanx, her story makes me cry. But like, because there's kind of this like, there's just this instant like, well, that's never going to work and nobody's going to be interested in it, because there's some sort of knee-jerk reaction to like, the guys who were heading up the toy factory didn't necessarily see the need for it, because they didn't. But so she ended up going into a business with her husband, and you know, it was obviously a runaway success. Girls loved it. They loved having the ability to play imaginary, to play with a doll that allowed them to access the imaginary life of an adult.
I've wondered this a lot, like, how has Barbie had this lasting popularity for 60-something years? Other toy companies have made dolls, other, you know, so even just as far as what you can do now with a toy, kids can literally have iPads and, you know, just, so why is a doll still important to people? It's really kind of fascinating, and I'm sure there's a lot of answers, but the thing I keep coming back to is it's clearly a device, a tangible device that they can use, kids in particular I'm talking about, can use to try and make sense of situations. And it can be an opportunity to imagine themselves in certain scenarios, maybe being a grown-up, which is something that's super interesting and elusive when you're a kid. Or maybe they're trying to figure something out and they can do it through play. So I think it's just ingrained in us, I suppose, to tell stories or create stories as a way of understanding ourselves and what's happening around us. And to do it with Barbie specifically, as opposed to any other toys, I don't know. I mean, she's definitely stayed top of mind over the decades, both for good reasons and bad reasons. And I think this ever-evolving journey she's on has kept people intrigued over the years.
She's just always been this kind of cultural monolith. That's why it's so brilliant that Greta starts the film that way, in that sort of 2001 nod. It's so true. Well, I doubted my Kenergy, to be honest, but I did not ever for a second doubt Margot or Greta. So, but you know, it was such a like a. It's such a special film, and it's just, it's so fresh, and yet it feels like so many things I loved growing up, but it also feels like something I've never seen, and I just felt very lucky to be a part of it.
Noah and I making Barbie was what was extremely unlikely for Noah. He did not even really know he was making it. I signed him up for it, and then he, at some point, said, "Are we writing a Barbie movie? What are you, did you, are, why?" And I said, "Well, I love Margot, and I have a feeling about this." And, you know, it really starts with the sense of kind of trying to surround the concept of Barbie. Like, it was almost like Barbie's, you know, this icon. She was invented in 1959. She's never not been the cause of conversation. She's evolved in all these different ways. Like, how do we surround this somehow? And I have an experience of it from when I was a little girl, but also now I'm a grown woman. So it just sort of looking at it from all these vantage points. And I think one thing that was key for us was not shying away from what made it impossible and controversial and all these different things, but sort of running towards it and letting that kind of set us on our path of finding the movie. When we had the script written, I loved the script so much that we'd written, and I thought two things. I was like, no one else is allowed to direct this, so I hope they'll let me. And the second thought I had was, they'll never let us make this. They'll never let us make this movie. Those were the two thoughts.
And I got to give her credit. She leans into everything. She doesn't shy away from one bit of controversy at all. Now, coming up next, we have an interview with Simu Liu. He plays not the enemy, but the guy who threatens Ryan Gosling's Ken. Ryan Gosling he's all insecure because this Ken is a good dancer and he doesn't like it. So he's very threatened by him. So you hear Simu talk about that. And then we have a clip. Now in this clip, they're at a dance party and they're all dancing, having fun. And Ryan Gosling is sitting next off to the side, just kind of pouting, being a whiner, if you will. And then Simu's character is out there dancing with Barbie. "Hey Barbie, hey Ken." So then Ryan Gosling's Ken walks out there and he joins up. Then after that clip, we're going to go back to the director, and she talks about it had to be Ryan. When they wrote it, it was like, it has to be him. They wrote him letters. They had no idea if he'd do it or not. But I just love hearing this from a director or anybody involved in a movie where they think, I don't know, will this person do the role? I mean, seriously, look how good she is at what she does. And even people of that level worry, thinking, oh man, maybe somebody won't do it. I love hearing those kind of interviews. And then after that, we're going to hear from Margot Robbie. And I love it because Margot Robbie and Ryan are sitting side by side and she starts saying, he's perfect. I can't think of anything to say bad about him. And he's like, what are you saying right now? He's just like, well, where did this come from? And it's kind of cool just to hear that camaraderie in her saying, this guy truly is the real deal. And then we're going to hear from Ryan talking about what Simu was talking about, that they have a little conflict. So they're at the beach and they have a beach off. But when Ryan talks about it, you could hear him just amused to no end. And he starts laughing at the very end. Because when you hear the scene, you're going to hear them talking about, I'm going to beat you off. No, I'm going to beat you off. And it's just, Holly kept a straight face. I would love to know how many takes it took them to make that scene.
My Ken, I guess we can call him Ken Simu, is best described as, I think, a rival to Ryan. I think early on, there's a big block party dance sequence like the Barbies and Kens always have. And it's kind of revealed that my Ken is quite a good dancer, is quite a skilled dancer. And, I think Ken Ryan really, really starts to resent that. She was just kind of talking about what Ken was, who Kens were, I guess. And that was when she first kind of told me about this idea of like, you know, the hierarchical structure of Barbie Land and how the Barbies are the ones with all of the jobs and occupations, and the Kens just kind of are Kens. Like, they don't really do anything. They just kind of sit around and beach. And I thought that was just a really unique take on, you know, any movie. And I was, you know, immediately I was curious about, okay, where is this going to go? And, she really took the Kens on an incredible journey, even though the movie's name is Barbie. I think she manages to take the Kens on such an incredible and fun journey. And by the end of it, I was like, okay, sign me up. Where can I, you know, how can I be a part of this movie?
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
Looking good, Barbie.
Ryan was always the one. He was always the one. He was written into the script. It was going to be Ryan or nobody. It was bad. I mean, I wanted Ryan completely, and I did not know Ryan. I did not know that he would do this. And Margot and I, like, wrote him letters and sets, like, we just waited. We were like, it's going to be Ryan. And it was just, I can't tell you how grateful I am he came to do this, because it was the thing that inspired me the most when we were writing. I was like, well, if it's Ryan saying this with Margot, that's going to be terrific.
I'm yet to find out what's not perfect about Ryan, and I've worked with him now too. And normally you go through this process and you get to know people.
What are you even saying right now?
And you see them at their, you know, under pressure and under stress and when they're tired and all those kind of stuff, sometimes that's when you really get to see another side to a person. And I'm literally yet to see a bad side of Ryan. So I feel validated in believing from the get-go that Ryan is just a perfect human being, and he continues to be.
You got Ken Schutte, you got Ken Scott, you know, Ken Kingsley, Ken Simu, there's Alan, Michael Cera. And how are they Kenning? They're just, you know, they're Kenning all over the place. They're Kenning all over each other. They're Kenning everywhere. And they're Kenning so hard that they're going to Ken themselves blind if they don't stop Kenning.
Oh, looks like this beach was a little too much beach for you, Ken.
If I wasn't severely injured, I would beat you off right now, Ken.
I'll beach off with you any day, Ken.
Hold my ice cream, Ken.
All right, Ken, you're on. Let's beach off.
Anyone who wants to beach him off has to beach me off first.
I will beach both of you off at the same time.
But you don't even know how to beach yourself off. How are you going to beach both of us off? It doesn't make sense.
Ken?
And
why are you beach yourself off?
You're going to beach both of us off?
Nobody's going to beach anyone off.
Need I say more? Again, Holly did that scene, and I want to know how many takes it took to make that scene. I mean, you watch it, and you're like, no way. Okay, keep rolling with it, guys, because, hey, they're not saying anything wrong. It's just beaching off. It's just their way of a rumble, if you will, on the beach. You'll see what I mean. But coming up next, we're going to hear from Simu Liu, and he just talks about how great Ryan is, and from one Canadian to another. It's just fun to hear him talk about that. And then we're going to hear from Margot Robbie, and she talks about the composer, Mark Ronson, and just what he brings to the project. And then we're going to hear from Mark Ronson, and he talks about the music. And then we go back to Margot Robbie, and she talks about how Greta has a really incredible appreciation for musicals from the past and how she implements that stuff in this current movie. And I just love seeing how one actor gets in the mind of the fellow director and all that kind of stuff. It's just really kind of cool. And then keeping in that same vein, we're going to hear from Simu again. And he also talks about how just wonderful Greta is as a director. And then we're going to follow that up with another dance scene. So in this scene, they're all just at a dance party, just having a blast.
So Ken Ryan is played by a Canadian darling and sweetheart, Ryan Gosling. And Ryan brings, I think, all of his incredible skill set to Barbie. I think it's used very, very well. Not to mention, he's got one of the most shredded Ken bods I've ever seen. I don't know if I've ever seen a real doll with that many abs, but here we are. Ryan is so great and such a thoughtful performer. And we've seen him in La La Land. He's an amazing dancer and an incredible singer, and I think he's able to kind of bring that all of that to full effect in this movie. And I was even taken aback. I mean, just hearing him sing on some of the Barbie tracks, some of the high notes that he hit, I was like, man, that's odd. Like, this dude can really, really sing. To say that he's a hero of mine would be a massive understatement. I mean, growing up in Canada, he's one of those success stories that you look up to, you know, and just been a huge fan and follower of his career. And it was just a huge honor to get to meet him and to play in this world with him.
What Mark Ronson has done with the music in this film is unbelievable. Music's always that really fun thing that usually it's kind of like icing the cake. You make the cake and then at the end you're like, ooh, it gets even better when we ice it. But that doesn't even begin to cover what Mark Ronson's done. And he didn't come at the end to ice the cake. He's been a part of the process from the beginning. And it's so important that's made the biggest difference, is having the music kind of grow and evolve whilst the film grew and evolved. And he's pulled in, obviously, the most incredible artists who, I don't know, he kind of developed this signature thing where the music is responding to what's happening on screen. I mean, there's like this hilarious song at the beginning when Barbie's going through her perfect day and then her bad day. And Lizzo's lyrics are very much reflecting what you're seeing on screen. And it's just this added layer of comedy, and this extra conversation that's happening with the audience that's so funny. And it's an incredibly catchy, amazing song. You know, the Billie Eilish song at the end of the movie, it made me cry the very first time I heard it. I still cry. I just watched a video of the orchestra, an actual orchestra playing the score, which makes me happy that that still happens in movies. You know, a real whole orchestra gets together and plays a movie score and they record it and they put it in. Not everything's done on computers. But to hear Billie Eilish's song played by an orchestra and half the orchestra turned up wearing pink and no one even told them to, they just did it because they wanted to, that made me cry as well. There's been a lot of emotional moments on this movie, unexpectedly emotional moments. But the music and what Mark Ronson's done, absolutely incredible. And Dua, of course, Dua Lipa is our mermaid Barbie and is just the coolest. And I've loved her for so many years as well. And just, again, like that was the dream, to get her in there. And she said yes. And then she did a song, and we did it for the whole dance, the block party. And it's just, there's the soundtrack's killer. Absolutely killer on this. There's so many artists, I can't even begin to go through everyone, but it's killer.
Sent them back the MP3 of the track, Tastes Like Barbie. I had this idea, just a disco tempo, a bass line and some chords. And they just dug it right away. And then what it evolved into with the Real Strings and Once Dua came, and we wrote the song with Dua and Carolyn Allen, who co-wrote New Rules and Don't Start Now, and such an amazing writer. And then Andrew Wyatt. I feel like it kept elevating as we kept seeing the picture. And then we saw the picture, and the picture was so much fun. We're like, wait. And Dua was like, no, we have to address that. When like Margot goes like that in the dance, like she's like, Dua wrote this line, turn the music up. So it says up right at the moment that Margot throws her hands up. Like, we were so inspired like by the picture that we just kept refining the song, till it just had this like wonderful disco energy that really fit the film, but also felt very much like a Dua song, because Dua's music is super tough as well. You know, there's nothing like overly sugary or sentimental about it. It's like, you know, like it's all about heartbreak and just, yeah, being tough and strong. So it was, you know, we found this really great median, I think, of that.
Greta definitely loved, you know, a lot of Technicolor musicals were a reference for this film, but also a lot of just old movies were a reference to this film. And they had this kind of, I mean, they're also shooting on different kind of film stock, of course, that helps, but this like full coverage but creaminess to their makeup. It was just a different kind of look, I guess, for what's popular right now, but very, very beautiful, especially on screen.
One thing I really admired about Greta's interpretation of Barbie, of what kind of Barbie is that, you know, in Barbie land, everyone is the best version of themselves, but that doesn't mean that there is only one version of beautiful or one standard of beauty. It's, you know, you truly see people of all shapes and sizes. You know, we see differently abled Barbies and Kens, and it really just is a celebration of the individual, but in a way that is like so completely inclusive of everybody else. There's no discrimination in Barbie land. There's no hatred or prejudice. It's just, everyone is just automatically always the best version of themselves. And, you know, is always, you know, everyone's always up for a party.
Hey, Barbie.
Yeah.
Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye. I could dance. Watch me.
Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Issa Rae, who talks about playing the President of the United States. And then we have a clip after that where she's in the office and she's talking to all the other Barbies, and then one's interviewing her and just like, oh, I'll take questions. Oh, I don't want to answer that. It's just a fun back and forth that they share. And then we're going to hear from the director, and she just talks about how lucky she was to have such an incredible cast. And it's an abundance of riches. Everybody in this movie just fits their part perfectly. And then, of course, we have to have people talking about the director. So then we'd have Simu talking about how great she is, and also Ryan Gosling.
To be able to have the opportunity to play president of all the Barbies, even though all Barbies can do anything and are capable of everything, to be able to wear my presidential sash and in my mind rule and kick it over Barbie land is a treat. And it's so much fun playing her. Everything's just so optimistic and positive in the Barbie world. So the president is doing a good job maintaining that, I'd imagine. Does she even have to do anything? Who knows? She might. The president passes bills all day and every day, and that's why Barbie land gets to be what it is. So I'm going to take full credit. I reverse what I said initially. President Barbie does everything.
Everybody,
Turn to the Barbie next to you. Tell her how much you love her. Compliment her. Reporter Barbie, you can ask me any question you want.
Well, how come you're so amazing?
No comment. No, seriously, no comment. I love you guys.
It was the most extraordinary group of people. Everyone who's in this movie, all the Barbies and Kens, from, you know, Issa Rae to Kate McKinnon to Kingsley Benadire to Simu Liu to Shuri Gatwa to Scott Evans. It was just every single person was like, you know, incredible. Alexandra Shipp, Emma Mackey, Sharon Rooney, Anna Kruske. They were all just amazing. Like, everybody, every single person added so much to what this experience was. And then we had people like Will Ferrell came to play, and Jamie Dimitriou, who's a brilliant comic, and, you know, it was just one by one, and even Helen Mirren coming to do the voiceover. Really, everyone was just so beyond my wildest dreams for this movie. And then, yeah, America Ferrera. Like, God, I just, the more I always, it's such an embarrassment of riches.
I think Greta is every bit as amazing and incredible as, you know, the Hollywood legends say. I think the thing that I really appreciate and admire about her is that there isn't an ounce of, you know, pretentiousness in her body. I mean, she is such an amazing, daring filmmaker, but you would never know it just by talking to her. You know, she's just kind of there socializing with everyone, cracking jokes, making fun of things. And you know, she's the first person to laugh from behind a monitor. But that infectious energy, I feel like, seeps down from the top all the way through to everybody in the cast and the crew. And she brings that energy with her and also leads us with just such a unique and well-crafted vision.
She's just an incredibly generous, intuitive, brilliant person who inspires everybody around her.
Now, coming up next, one of the best parts of this movie, and this movie is full of a lot of great parts, Weird Barbie. Again, I never played with Barbie, but since when this is coming out, I've spoken to a lot of women, and they've very much agree with this, that they also had a weird Barbie. I even talked to my wife about it, and she had one. She turned one into a punk rocker back in the day. It cut the hair, painted the face. A lot of women or people had a weird Barbie. And then, so we're going to hear from the writer-director talking about the process of that, of the ones that she had growing up. And then we're going to hear from Weird Barbie herself, Kate McKinnon. And let's just be completely honest, just like the director is, she is perfect for Weird Barbie. And she just engulfs that character. Everything Kate McKinnon has ever done, I'll watch. I don't care what it is. So incredibly talented, from SNL, movies, you name it, I'll watch it. She's spectacular. And then we have a couple clips, and I play them back to back here for you. Different from the TV version, which, in case you want to watch a TV version, I'm going to give you that website at the end. But in this scene, Barbie is taking America Ferrera to Barbie Land. She's taking her and her daughter, because in a quick wrap-up of the story, not wrap-up, but a little scenario for you, America Ferrera, she's the one who's kind of controlling Barbie having this issues going on, because it's her Barbie that she gave to her daughter, and right now she's kind of dealing with a lot of emotional stuff, so she's drawing Barbies that are dealing with real-life issues, from cellulite to pondering her death and everything like that, and that's bleeding over to conventional Barbie, and that's what creates Barbie coming to the real world to try to find the little girl that she thinks is having problems. But it turns out to be the mother of the daughter. So in this scene, Barbie is like, we're going to go visit, you know, my world. And her daughter's like, are you going to let this happen, Mom? And then it goes right into where both mother and daughter walk up to Weird Barbie and they have a great conversation. And just Kate McKinnon's, yeah, you did. Just perfect. She just perfect. But that's what those scenes are about. And then we're going to hear from Kate McKinnon a little bit more, just talking about the director. And then we go to the director again, and she just talks about what she hopes we get out of this film. But I want to go back to the interview that you're going to hear first from the director. It's so cool to hear this stuff, that her and Kate have known each other since they've been 17. How cool is that? I don't know. I love that stuff.
I would get a lot of Barbies, like hand-me-downs from the neighborhood, different girls. Bethany Wheeler gave me her dream house. And anyway, but they, a lot of the Barbies had been already loved into weirdness. And so I had this idea of like, well, we have to have a Barbie that represents that, you know, that represents that that fate of so many Barbies. And and I wanted her to be funny and wise. And I actually, Kate McKinnon was the first person I thought of. And we've actually known each other since we were 17 or 18. We were in college together. So it was a very full circle moment.
I myself did not play with Barbies. Go figure. But my sister sure did. And she had a bunch of normals whose hair she brushed and whose clothes she cared for. And there was one receptacle of her ire and bizarre feelings that got its head shaved, as they all did. And hers was known as Urinelle because it smelled like pee from something. And you keep a weird Barbie with her legs splayed as far as they will go. And it's just, it's a character that every little girl grew up with. And I think that the reason every girl decided to have a weird Barbie was because, you know, if you're being spoon-fed this, these gender roles, something in you is not all that. And that needs a place to go, and where that goes is your weird Barbie.
I love rollerblades. Where are we going? Barbie Land.
What? Mom, are you really gonna let Barbie take you and your tween daughter to an imaginary land?
Yes, and you wanna know why? Because I never get to do anything. I didn't even go on that cruise I won at your school raffle because I didn't have enough vacation days and your dad's allergic to sun.
Oh. What about Dad? You can't just leave him.
He'll be fine. Yeah, he'll be fine.
Ready for fun?
Hello? Humans,
we're fine.
And Alan.
Come into my weird house. Hi, I'm Weird Barbie. I am in the splits. I have a funky haircut and I smell like basement.
Oh my God, I had a weird Barbie.
Yeah, you did.
You make them weird by playing too hard.
It's cool. She is a force is the only word for what she is. I don't understand how a person has that much energy to give, had that clear of a vision about every single detail of something, and that much love and attention to give. It's sort of like being cuddled like a baby bird by this wonderful, like, mother slash mad scientist, and it's amazing. She's unbelievable.
I hope that they laugh so hard that their stomachs hurt, and then I hope they find themselves tearing up and choked up by the end, and then I hope they leave the theater feeling that they are worthy and that they're good enough and that they're one of one, limited edition, and that they're so special in themselves.
And she's 100% right. You will feel all those emotions she talked about. You'll laugh, you'll get teary-eyed, and it tackles real-life issues. And that's not easy to do in a, air quote here, comedy. But what a director, great writing, the acting, the cast, top-notch. And I'm sure you've heard this already before, but because of this movie, when they were making it, there was a worldwide shortage of pink paint. And that says a lot. They didn't settle for color correction on the computer or any other after effects. They actually used pink paint. And that affected the whole world. And again, little details like that. A director really wanted to make it feel authentic. Because the sets on this are so incredible from, I mean, it cartoonish, but yet not, but it, real, but not. It's so well done. And like the commercial says, if you love Barbie, you'll love it. If you hate Barbie, you'll love it, because it shines a light on everything. Well, I really hope you enjoyed our in-depth look at Barbie. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, any way to improve the show, let me know. CinemaJudge@hotmail.com, or go to a plethora of platforms. If you want to go to Instagram, The Cinema Judge. If you want to go to Threads, Cinema Judge, or I should say probably there too, The Cinema Judge. We're also on YouTube. If you want to check out YouTube, look up Cinema Judge. We're there also. Whatever you want to do, I would love to know if anything we could do to make the show better, because that's all I care about. Because there's so much noise out there. I want to create a movie oasis, a place we could come and just escape from all the noise. There's so much noise out there. All we do here is talk about one movie. And that's what we do here. I'm not going to tell you not to see a movie, because any movie is somebody's favorite movie. We all walk different paths because we all want to spend our hard-earned money wisely, because we all want the same thing, an enjoyable movie experience. So if you want to watch the TV version of this, go to bit.ly/cinemajudge. This and several other shows are on demand to watch whenever you want, 24 hours a day. Or if you want to go to the Meta Universe, I'm often there late at night talking to people about movies. Just look up Cinema Judge. I'm there, whether it be at Funhouse, Ace of Clubs, Laser Tag, wherever it is, look it up. I would love to chat with you because that's so fun. Sometimes just I'm walking around visiting worlds and people come up and we talk movies. I love it. Feel free to drop me a line. It's all good. But now it's probably the best part of the show that I truly enjoy. This is where I give you, the listeners, a shout out to those who listened to the last episode. And to those who you say, hey, buddy, why don't you mention me? I listened to all the old episodes. Trust me, I appreciate that and I love it. But that stuff's impossible to find out where, when, and how, all that jazz. But don't think for one second that I don't value or love that you listen to past episodes. It's just much more easy to find out who listened to the last episode. So if you don't want to shout out, just listen to previous episodes. And I absolutely love hearing how you listen to this show, whether you're driving to work, at work, on break, sitting at home, on a long road trip, listen to it overnight like a nightlight. I don't care. I just hope my voice finds you well. So wherever, whenever, or whatever you're doing, this is for you. And this isn't everybody. This is just some of. But everybody from the United States, Germany. Again, Germany, you guys are awesome. Thanks for sharing. I'm not kidding you. All the listens from Germany, truly, I'm grateful. Same thing with Canada, Israel, and Poland. I'm just blown away. Thank you to everybody around the world. From Minneapolis, Minnesota, Overland Park, Kansas, Chicago, Illinois, Brampton, Ontario, Blacksburg, Virginia, Des Moines, Iowa, Burnsville, Minnesota, Stillwater, Minnesota, Invergrove Heights, Minnesota, Monroe Falls, Ohio, Frankfurt am Main Hesse, Bonn, North Rhine, Westphalia. If that's wrong, I truly apologize, but you know what I'm saying. And Rettheim, Wetham, Baden, Württemberg, thank you so very much. Highland Ranch, Colorado, Debno, West Pamernia, and that's just to name a few. But I guarantee it, this, when you guys listen to this show, when that shows up on my little listening thing, I do a happy dance. And I've told you a million times before, it's not pretty, but I do a happy dance. Because I'm like, man, you took time out of your life to listen to this show. And if you're sharing it with anybody, I really appreciate that. And it just means the world to me that I'm not just sitting here in my basement talking to nobody. I mean, I would do it either way, but knowing somebody out there wants to listen just blows my mind right off. So I really, really appreciate that. Now, today's bourbon shout out goes out to everybody, no matter who you are. If you played with a Barbie and it changed your life or made you dream, made you hope, made you think, I can do anything I want to do, or I could try to do anything I want to do, this is for you. So to everyone out there who found hope, purpose, or just the idea of maybe I can, cheers. But now it's the music section. Now, many of you know this. This is first a TV show before I make it into this podcast. And that's my happy place. When I'm doing my show, the TV version, I'm cranking the tunes. It's just me, music, and movie. What more do I need? I'm sitting here in my basement, editing away. Don't have to worry about sound or this volume, anything else. It just, I'm zoning out the tunes. And for whatever reason, when I was making this one, I'm like, you know, what does this feel like? What does this movie speak to me about? For whatever reason, I felt early 80s. I'm like, yeah, I don't know why. And so I put on one of my favorite 80s soundtrack, Valley Girl. I love that movie. It's, if you've never seen Valley Girl, give it a shot. The music is just perfect for that movie. Every scene when they have a song playing, you're like, yep, yep, yep. I don't know if there's really a truly Valley Girl album out there, but after watching it for so many years over and over again, I've collected, I'm like, oh, I remember that song. Okay. I try to put it in the order of the movie. And a few times my system got confused, so I had to re-enter them, so they got put out of order. But I love that movie because look at the cast. You have the insanely awesome Nicolas Cage and the equally insanely awesome Deborah Foreman. And I'm not going to lie, those two together were just magic on the screen. And I think one day I'm going to have to do a complete show on them or on that movie because there's so much that happened behind the scenes. And Deborah Foreman, if you're from that era, you just loved her. And same thing with Nicolas Cage. But Deborah Foreman, everything about that performance was just priceless. I mean, every one of us, we just bow down to her awesomeness. But on that album or during that movie, these are some of the songs, not all of them, but A Million Miles Away, Johnny Are You Queer, Eyes of a Stranger, Angst in My Pants, Who Can It Be Now, Everywhere at Once, I La 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 Love You, He Could Be the One, Love My Way, Jukebox, and if it doesn't ring a bell, it's Don't Put Another Dime in the Jukebox, The Fanatic, She Talks in Stereo, Oldest Story in the World, I Melt With You, Eaten by the Monster of Love. Those two songs right there, I Melt With You ends the movie. When those two are in the limo, driving away, those two, that chemistry, that moment of both them smiling, just priceless. You're like, oh man. And the real life story about them is really kind of fascinating too. The soundtrack just brings me back to that happy place. Every song on there, I'm like, oh man, I remember that time. In Eaten by the Monster of Love, that scene in the movie is just perfect. But it's just, even on its own, when that comes on, I'm like, so awesome. Give that a shot. I think it's by the Sparks. And that being said, I did a movie on them, or a podcast on them, I should say, on the movie, because they have a very fascinating story on their own. So if you're interested, I did do a podcast on them about the Sparks. Well, that is it. My glass awaits. I'm thirsty. So cheers to you and to the movies. So until next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.